The book of Corinthians we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, and one of the concerns Paul has is division starting out in the church, and he's very concerned about it. And there's a line that we talk about in church called preserving the unity, peace, and purity of the church. That's one of the responsibilities of leaders, is to preserve that, and that's what Paul is doing, you know, with Corinth. And I, you know, I've been here 35 years, and a lot of the times when I'm coming to church, I'm really glad to be here, and a lot of people I love and know, and you know, there's friendship and fellowship and that. But every once in a while, something creeps in. Every once in a while, someone gets disgruntled or something happens, and you know, starts to create kind of cracks in the love and community of the church. And you know, the question first is, what are the things that can possibly, you know, hurt the church, like break it up, cause divisions, right? Hurt that purity, peace, and unity of the church. And then what can we do to prevent anything like that happening? And it always is going to start, you know, here, right? It's always going to start with where we are individually, and because we're both, you know, individuals and corporately together. And so if things start to go wrong, you know. So Paul, you know, and again, the specific problem they were having is they were dividing up. They had several leaders in the church, and the people were saying, well, I'm with Paul, or I'm with, you know, Peter, and dividing the church based on that leadership. And, you know, I wouldn't say that's a problem that we have. You know, we have good leaders. We have good worship leaders. We have a lot of different helpers and people like that. And I don't see any division. But the words that Paul uses to describe what was going on there, I think help us see kind of the root of the problem without, you know, the very specific problem. He says, brother, I could not address you as spiritual, but as fleshly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not acting like mere men? For one says, I follow Paul, another says, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere men? So the two things that he contrasts here is the way of thinking. One is spiritual. And in Romans 8, he talks about the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the flesh. In Galatians, he talks about the works of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. And he's talking about the idea here where if my thoughts are fleshly, right, it could rise up problems in my heart. It can rise up problems. So, you know, one of the, in the list of the works of the flesh, the things that are bad about the flesh, there's jealousy, envy, strife, fighting, anger, you know, and you can look at these things, they might lead up to, you know, real arguments and trouble in relationships, and it breaks it. Now, on the other side, the Spirit of God, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, godliness, self-control, those are going to not destroy relationships, those are going to build relationships. So just in one sense, he's pointing out that their fleshly thoughts are starting to create cracks in the wall of the church. And he's trying to get them to pay attention to that. You know, the thing about the mind of the Spirit, it really comes from God. It is a gift from God. I keep saying, we talked about this last week too, just how much we are dependent upon God, how much we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And probably the number one thing always on my prayer list is, Lord, you know, fill me, fill your church with the Holy Spirit. Give us the power of God to think along with you, to have that mind of the Spirit and not be drawn away and led by the flesh. By nature, people are led by the flesh, and it's so easy to happen, right? So there's, you know, there's a lot of fleshly things that can divide a church. It doesn't have to be about leaders. I think, you know, one of the sad parts about the church as a whole, and we're often divided based on finance, based on race, based on things that are very fleshly. You know, if we look at each other strangely because, well, you have more than I or you don't have as much, you know, if you think that, having something makes you better, that's pretty fleshly, right? If you think that the color of someone's skin makes them different, that's fleshly, very fleshly. I was watching the Jackie Robinson story, you know, and I was just saying, just seeing how, again, just thinking about how bad racism is and that. And I kind of got teary. I do that at movies. But thinking about how God protected me from that, because my spiritual father was a black man. And my first church, where they were, I was the only white guy there. And I loved my brothers and sisters in Christ. And the idea of skin color, it just had nothing to do with anything except for the flesh. And it's sad that, you know, some churches use that as their you know, soapbox to talk about it. But no, there's no place for it. That's fleshly. So things like that, you know, you think about politics. You know, how often do we talk about politics here? Zero. It's fleshly. I'm sorry. It's of this world. It's of this present evil age. It's not that we don't have opinions, but that's not why we're a church. We're not a church based upon politics. We're a church based on something else we'll talk about in a minute. Sports, yeah. There's some of the guys, we got chat things and we talk and we joke around. And as soon as it doesn't, it's no longer joking, that's a problem, right? Just as a thought, guys, you know. Fun is fun, but don't cross lines that start to hurt relationships, right? Sports are very fleshly. They're not, you know, they're not, you know, God, right? So he's telling us to have our thinking sanctified, to have the way we talk with one another, the way we look at each other, sanctified, holy, moved by the Spirit of God, not according to the flesh. And so he goes on. He says, after all, what is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned each his task. I planted seed, Apollos watered it, God made it grow. Now, and this is, again, this is because of their problem. They're talking about, you know, the nature of what is a leader? What is a pastor? What is an elder or a teacher, right? Well, teachers and elders and pastors are given gifts by God to serve the church. I used to talk about this and say, you know, so arguing about, well, I like this guy better than that guy, right? Talking about leaders, you know, oh, Billy Graham was great. Well, what about the, you know, no, yeah, no. He says, no, those are God's servants. It's like, you know, like I'm going to choose, you know, which servant I'm going to support and be behind and say, I'm of that, you know. And he says, you know, listen, and this is an interesting thing about ministry. Preachers, teachers, prayers, anybody, you know, anybody that's doing ministry has no personal power to affect souls. I don't get to choose. I don't get to cause someone to grow. Now, I can be faithful to the Word of God, which will help people. I can be faithful to the gifts that God has called me to use and use those, right? And that will benefit the church. But only God causes someone to grow. Only God causes someone's heart to be opened up to the gospel and say, amen, I'm going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to believe in the wisdom of God, the power of the cross. I'm going to believe in everything that God's laid in front of me. Only God can open that heart. Only God can cause that increase in our souls, in our being. Only God can give us strength and power over sin, right? So Paul's saying, listen, we do our job. We're trying to do it right, but only God makes it work. It's like, you know, you can take a seed and you can plant it in soil, you can water it, but you cover it up, it's not going to grow, right? It's not going to grow. It needs the light. Well, you know, we can preach, we can teach, we can pray, we can ask God, but only God says, yes, I'm going to touch your life. And the awesome thing about that is that if God has opened your heart, if God has opened your mind, it's not because of the pastor and it's not because of the teacher. It's because God is at work. That's awesome. God is at work. Jesus told the Jews when they were, you know, treating him badly, and he said, because he worked on the Sabbath, he healed a man on the Sabbath, And he says, my Father's at work all the time. God doesn't stop working. So God does work. He says, only God. He says, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. Each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. The thing he's trying to say here, and he says it even better later, just the idea of what's really important. God working in lives. God building a people. Putting his spirit in a household of people. Becoming God's people and temple. We'll see that in a minute. So he says, by the grace given to me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it, right? But each should be careful how he builds. You know, this is the thing. We have the entire New Testament, and there's a word we use, apostolicity. And that says that every book in the New Testament has some form of an apostle's hand on it. Most of the books of the New Testament were written by Paul. And we know Paul was mightily moved by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, met him as the resurrected, powerful Lord, and was given a call and became, you know, the Apostle Paul and laid a foundation, gave us scripture. John, you know, was one of Jesus' disciples, an apostle. Matthew was an apostle. And they gave us those books. Mark lived and worked with Peter. So apostolicity, Mark's gospel is part of it. But all of the Bible, all that we call scripture, came from the hands of those like Paul who laid the foundation. And he says this, there's only one foundation. There's only one foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. You cannot talk about salvation in any other name. You cannot talk about receiving the Holy Spirit by any other power than but by the power of Jesus Christ. And that foundation is in every book. It's actually in every book throughout the Bible. If you know what you're looking at in Genesis all the way through Revelation, it is all about God working through Jesus Christ and bringing together a people. And he just says people should be careful how they build on that foundation. And he goes on. I'm going to go ahead and move to that. He says, any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, or wood, hay, or straw. And it's really like wood, grass, or reeds. In other words, now, he says that, you know, his work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. Now, you just think about this. He says there's these three precious things, gold, silver, precious stones. What do you think happens when you put those in a fire? They don't get destroyed. They don't get burned up. Actually, they get purified, right? Gold and silver get purified by fire. And so they're going to last. But if you put wood, grass, reeds, you know, hay in a furnace, what happens to it? It gets destroyed. I think about, you know, some of what we see people do in the name of Christ. Some people preach Jesus, even in Paul's day. He said some people preach for money. So that's why they're doing it. They're doing it so they can make money, so they can make fame for themselves, so they can be known. That's not it. That's not what it's about. That's wood, grass, hay, stubble, junk, and it doesn't last. That's only for this world. That's pretty fleshly, right? Paul, though, you know, as he proclaimed the gospel, and just think of this, you know, we teach about Jesus Christ. What is Jesus Christ according to what Paul said? Jesus Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. If you're looking for the wisdom and power of God, if you're looking for God to do something in your life, to give you that growth that he only can give you, it's going to be on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's going to be on the foundation of the Word of God. It's going to be on the foundation that God gave us, not something that people make, not something that's fleshly, something that's spiritual, something that's powerful, right? Cheap, flimsy elements, they're going to burn up, you know. They might make up a new message. One of the sad things I bring up in seminaries, they're teaching guys how to market Jesus. to sell Jesus. In other words, it's not good enough to proclaim the gospel that's been proclaimed for 2,000 years, to pray for the Holy Spirit to move and touch lives. No, you got to sell it. You don't sell Jesus. That's wood, hay, and stubble. That stuff doesn't, that's not what God called us to. He didn't call us to be salesmen. He called us to be preachers and teachers of the truth and let God give the increase. Let God be God and save the soul, save the person, right? So he says, you know, that every person's work is going to be tested. And I think about this often, you know. Sometimes when you are biblical, when you are kind of just, this is God's word, this is the truth, and you don't allow other things, sometimes it upsets people. Sometimes you say, well, that's just not, you know, I'll put it in Joel Osteen's word, you're behind the time. You know, yeah, I'm behind the time. I'm 2,000 years behind the modern age because I'm believing in a resurrected Lord. I'm believing in the words that God gave us through the apostles 2,000 years ago. I believe that that is the foundation of the church, and everything that's going to grow is going to grow off of that if it's going to be God's growth, right? So he says, it's, you know, it's all going to be tested. But what's it all about? Again, the peace, purity, unity of the church, right? Those gifts that God gives people to build on the foundation of Christ, the preaching, the teaching, those things. But it's all about God building something. It's all about God making something. And what is it that he's making? He says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and the Spirit of God lives in you? Listen, you have the Spirit of God in your heart. You have the Spirit of God in your life. I pray for it all the time. I pray for it for myself. I pray for it for us as a people. I pray that God will bless us with his grace, with his power, and cause us to grow. He says, when you do that, you become God's dwelling place. And that goes all, I mean, that's, you know, the Garden of Eden was God's dwelling place. He dwelt with humans. That's what God wants. He wants to dwell with us. Another word for it is tabernacle. That means God covering us, God being over us. This, by the way, this you know, the Spirit lives in you, you yourselves. It's you all. It's not just you. It's y'all. In other words, it's a plural. In Greek, there's singular and plural yous. We can't see that in English. But it says, you all are the temple of God. Because God is dwelling in this place. I love to worship with you all. I love to worship with you because as we worship together, it's a lot stronger than one little stone off by himself worshiping. It's like, no, this is the temple. This is God's dwelling place. This is God's people. And he says, you yourselves are God's temple. Then he gives a warning, again, division. God doesn't want a temple with cracks in the wall. He doesn't want things breaking off, right? If anyone destroys God's temple, well, how are you going to destroy God's temple? Jealousy, right? Envy, striving, division, heresy, breaking off, things like that. That's how it happens. Thinking of the flesh instead of thinking of the Spirit, right? That's how it happens. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, be careful. Don't let a fleshly mind cause a crack in the wall of God's temple, right? Keep a spiritual mind. You know, sometimes in conversations, if I feel like a conversation is going in a direction that's not right, not going to build unity, man, I cut it off. I cut it off because there's nothing worth talking about that's worth fighting over, dividing over, cracking the temple walls, right? God built this himself. It's he who empowers, makes us, as Peter calls it, we are living stones built into a spiritual house to offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. That's another way of talking about us being the temple. Very powerful stuff. God's temple is sacred. Think of this. Okay, the leaders and everything he's talked about, it's about God building a temple that is holy, sacred to him. He loves us. He put every stone in place. And it's not just this little room. I'm talking about all over the world. He's put every stone in place to make his temple, right? just going to kind of read this. Don't deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he's wise by the standards of the world, in other words, by, you know, fleshly standards of today, you know, modern, he should become a fool. So, you know, I had a wisdom before I became a Christian. I thought I knew stuff. And when God broke my heart and opened me up and took me aside, I realized, man, I need to learn a lot more about God and throw that stuff away. And that's what he's saying. He said, don't be wise according to this world. The wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. It is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. They're empty. They don't mean anything. So no more boasting about men. This is going back to their problem. No more boasting about men. But no more fleshly things that might cause splits, that might cause hard feelings or anything like that. Whether Paul, he said, and this is one of my favorite lines in this text, all things are yours. In other words, why does God call preachers, teachers, music, musicians, and help us to have songs and praise and have people that run things for us, because God is building something. He said, and it's all for us who belong to God. He says, all things are yours. Whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or present, or future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Isn't that awesome? So the unity and peace and purity of the church, it's held on the foundation of Jesus Christ. It's held on God doing the work. God's the one that gives us life. God's the one that changes hearts. God's the one that builds us up, right? The workers are workers. We're servants. So I always try to teach people who work close to me, don't call me sir. If you want to call me pastor, that's all right. But the leader, as Jesus said, has got to be servant of all. We're not big shots. We're not important. What's important is what God is doing. What's important is what God is building up in hearts and souls and lives. The temple of God, the holy temple of God, that's what's important. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Father, I thank you so much for the work that you do around us. We praise you, Lord God, because you do not stop working. You're always at work. And I praise you, Father, that you have blessed many in this house to know you, to walk with you, to love you, to serve you, and to glorify you. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.